Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y. And my name is Gabrielle. So this will be, I don't even know what episode, episode 9 or episode 10. I'm almost done this season because I like to do at least 12. But like I said in the last one, I think I might be actually like continuing on. I might just have like a little lull here and there to recoup or come up with some more ideas so that it would be interesting, refreshing. When you have something that's very specific, like, you know, 80s, 90s nostalgia, or just nostalgia within my generation, you will eventually run out of some stuff to talk about. And if you're going into a specific, like toys or movies and stuff like that. Anyway, so in this one, I wanted to discuss favorite TV shows. Now, I know that I did sitcoms in one of my previous episodes, but I really didn't watch a lot of sitcoms. So when I re-listened to it, I'm like, well, this is really like not a lot of fodder for shows. So what I just did is I went back and I looked at shows that I watched, you know, shows that I actually sat down and with my parents or on my own, depending on who had control over the controller. And when we eventually did get like cable and stuff like that. There isn't a specific genre that I did of shows. It was just the ones that I specifically watched. And I will say there is actually a lot of science fiction ones. So, and I know like when we, sci-fi was like a huge channel in my house. So there's that. The X-Files. Now, I wasn't I didn't watch it from point A to point B, but I do remember, and I don't even know if it's the first episode, probably is. But the one where the guy can squeeze through any like area, like he can, you know, if he sees like a little, you know, the mailbox slot or something, I don't know why, because I went back and rewatched that one, and I don't know why it freaked me the hell out when I watched it when I was younger, and it was just like, what am I watching right now? I really liked the X-Files. I liked the idea of, you know, things that are unexplainable but explainable, and how it could be, you know, you might have a blind faith in something, but at the same time you want to have some scientific proof. I liked that balance in the back and forth between the two. But I didn't watch it like religiously. It was just every once in a while it would be on. And my dad actually did watch that with us. And I don't know if it's necessarily because my mom wanted to watch it or if he was actually intrigued by it or not. The other one was The Storyteller. Now, here's the thing. I had seen some of this. It's the Jim Henson Storyteller. There is the original one with John Hurt. And then there's the one with Michael Gambone, who plays Dumbledore after Richard Harris died, RIP. So the one that he did, the Greek myths and legends, which were interesting. Now, I did not see all of those. I didn't even know that they were in existence until later. But I did watch the original one with John Hurt because that was at the end, almost of every one of them, but that was at the end of the Jim Henson Hour. He would put one of the storyteller stories at the end. So when I got the DVD, and you can watch all of the storytellers on Disney, I didn't realize how much more there was. I didn't know it was a standalone show. So I have like this really long list, just a side note, for all of these shows that we used to watch. This is going to be probably towards the late 90s, because like I said, when I was younger, and especially like in the 80s, I watched like the cartoons, and I did like your Saturday morning cartoons one already. But I might actually go and I might do some more of like 90s stuff, because my brother was born in 89 and I watched a lot of his cartoons. I could even do ones nostalgic for kids and Gen Z, because I watched a bunch of these. So I could do ones for Gen Z as well, because I watched cartoons with my son all the time. And I'm, you know, if I had normal television, I don't have normal cable. It's just streaming services, which I think the majority of people, well, I don't know about majority, but a lot of people have switched over. So like, you know, it's just all subscription based, because you think you're saving money, which I kind of am, because I don't really subscribe to everything, because can get like really crazy, which that's something else I'd like to, I have like all these random ideas. But anyway, so this list is a little bit more extensive than the one prior for my the shows, because before I did like the Saturday morning cartoons, so that was very specific, and the sitcoms, which like I said, when I was younger and especially like in the 80s, I really didn't watch it because I was a child, you know. I was like a toddler for a good portion of it, and like, you know, 6 years old coming out, so I didn't really watch anything more grown up, you know, at the time. And then even my parents, really, like I said, we weren't, my dad liked to watch TV, but he'd watch it at night and we were supposed to be in bed anyway. So during the day, we would be outside, my dad would be building things, we'd be playing, and it was like, television was like an option, but it wasn't like the option, if you know what I mean. So, and we didn't have like computers. We did have our Nintendo and the Atari, and I believe we had the Super Nintendo or SNES, SNES. Every time I say like, oh, the Nintendo, and Bryce is, my son is like, the NES, and I was like, the Nintendo, yeah, NES, no, Nintendo, and I'm like, you know, the Super Nintendo, I just mean the SNES, and I'm like, yes, it's the same thing. Charmed. My mom loved this show. So I, like I said, a lot of these shows are going to be based in the 90s because that's the only time that I really was like into television or I was watching like shows that I was interested in. So when Charmed came out, it was 1998. So yeah, it was like the later end of the 90s and the early 2000s when a lot of these, some of these shows came out. Not a lot, but some of them. Let me just say that I only watched it when Shannen Doherty was on, was on it. I have not watched the Charmed reboot. Now, here's the thing. CW is really known for like their dragging out of shows and people coming alive and dying and coming back alive. And it's just been like, you know, it gets to a point where like, okay, it's, this is a little too much. I stopped watching Charmed after my mom stopped watching it because it wasn't like something like I need to watch this. I know people are very much into that. I did like the show. It was pretty cool. I liked that whole concept of it, and it was there. So Charmed was a staple kind of in our house, but it wasn't like I didn't sit through all of them. Now, so between Hercules and Xena, Warrior Princess. So if you watched Hercules, you would have seen Xena because she was actually a bad guy in Hercules. Did I even write down Hercules? No, I guess I would have just figured it out on my own. So if you watched Hercules, then you would know Xena. Now, the thing is that I watched Hercules. My dad watched it. And I watched Xena, but I remember more of Xena than I do of Hercules. And when did that come out? So let's check. Xena Warrior Princess. That came out, 1995, okay. It's older than I thought. I really liked Lucy Lawless. She's still cool. But her companion, Gabrielle, it's me. I would very rarely see characters that have my name. And it was always very hard to find, like, you know how they had like the name keychains that they'd have like down the shore or something like that. And just name anything that was supposed to have names. They would have some other random names, but they would never have Gabrielle. They would have Gabe. Sometimes I would have Gabriel, but that's the male version. So yeah, but Gabriel was I never could find it. So it's just like, so it was really, really cool to, it was really neat to actually see like a character. And she was like a strong character too, as like the sidekick for Xena. And I liked her. So I thought that was really neat. And I appreciated that. So Are You Afraid of the Dark? Obviously, you know, if you watched anything off of Nickelodeon, which, by the way, I did watch Quiet on Set, and my God, that was disturbing and very upsetting because there was a lot of shows that I did watch. You know, if you grew up any around that time, you watched it, and to know that these people, it's just horrible. It's just horrible. I didn't hear anything about Are You Afraid of the Dark specifically, so I feel like that's still okay. I mean, I'm hoping that those actors didn't get because I believe Are You Afraid of the Dark is Canadian. That doesn't mean anything. So I just hope that, I don't even know what to say about it. It was very disturbing and very upsetting to know that this happens and this continues to happen. So anyway, Are You Afraid of the Dark, on a lighter note, I loved it. It was, you would watch like Clarissa, Ren and Stimpy, and then like Are You Afraid of the Dark. That's kind of like the way it went, and it was in the evening. And let me tell you, I'm not a huge fan of like horror or anything like scary, to be honest, because I was deathly afraid of the dark. So when it says, are you afraid of the dark? Yes. Yes, I was. And not so much anymore. Now, like, my room has to be like pitch black so I can go to sleep. So back in the day, it's like I would just have the lights on or have a nightlight. So that beginning, creepy as hell, right? Like, they did a good job to like really spur that imagination for kids. And I thought it was really cool how each of the people would come up with those stories, whether I highly doubt that they did specifically, but I liked it. I liked it. And they, even though you didn't get to see those people throughout the whole show, they were very much the heart and soul of the show, obviously, because they were the ones that were coming up with these really cool and interesting episodes. Now, there was a few episodes that actually was like you get teary-eyed, like the one with Clarissa or Melissa Joan Hart. She will always be Clarissa. And it was like the lonely ghost, and the kid would just be like, he was trying to find his coat because he kept saying, I'm cold. And I was upsetting because the kid froze to death. Oh, and the other one where the little girl is in that house and she's stuck in that room and she's like in the mirror. So every time she would write, help me, it would be backwards. Both of those were tearjerkers. Like I watched them and I'm like, oh my God, this hurts. This hurts me. But they were great. I think they did an excellent job with the premise. Like, they had really cool ideas behind it. Now, I have not watched anything that was like a reincarnation of the Are You Afraid of the Dark. I'm not saying that they're not any good. I haven't watched them, so I can't really say one way or the other. Okay. So maybe I'll check that out and, like, you know, give my opinion on it, because, you know, that's very important to everybody, right? My opinion. Dinosaurs. I don't know if I mentioned, I don't think I did, because I did actually listen. I need the show. Not just dinosaurs. Jesus. All right. So that was 1991. So there you go. So that's like, and that was classified as a sitcom, because it was. There's this, like, you know, your basic comedy sitcom, but with dinosaurs. And it was just so absurd sometimes, where it was funny and it was just different. And it was, you know, it kind of reminded me of like the Flintstones, but like at the, like flip it to be like the dinosaurs' point of view of it. And it's interesting. I actually have no idea who did the puppetry on that. Jim Henson, of course. Of course. The fact that I questioned it, even sacrilegious. Yeah. So anything that's done, listen, okay. I had an idea for like your, what was it? What did I say? Your idols. And did you have any? And I kept like, I didn't really have idols. There was nobody that was like particularly over, like, okay. I have like all of my, I have notes here and I'm getting them mixed up. I need like a better filing system. I have a filing cabinet and I have folders, but I feel like my desk part of it, where I'm trying to keep everything nice and neat, needs something. I need like an organizer. Like I need more stuff. Like I need a hole in the head. But anyway, so yeah. So anything, when I was talking about idols, I'm like, I didn't even get to that. And I was thinking about just not doing one, because I'm like, I don't even know how to discuss idols because I really didn't have one. But I think that Jim Henson is an idol of mine. Just that creativity. And I'll go right into that if I do that episode or not, because I don't know what else to talk about. I feel like that would be like a 15-minute me ranting about how great Jim Henson is. And that's it. But it's the truth, because anything that he was a part of and that he created, it just was like, and you knew like they were puppets, but they were just so well done. And just like the amount of love and attention that went into these, like, you could tell. And I idolized it. I wanted to be that. I think that creativity is what sparked my own creativity to want to do other things other than just, you know, be a bump on the log and then go through life just that way. I wanted to have a more dimensional life. And I feel like he provided that stepping stone to know, like, hey, this is something that you can do because I did it. But anyway, here I am, 41 years old, and I haven't done diddly squat. So anything that he does, or even just the like his, you know, son Brian Henson, who, by the way, I didn't know he married Mia Sara from Legend. I know she's from other things, but she's from Legend for me. I just looked that up and I was like, he's married to her? Wow. I think he's, because he worked with his dad for decades, obviously, and grew up around that, I think he has instilled that ideal for it. I'm hoping that whoever takes it over after him will be equally as good, because nobody will be ever as good as Jim Henson himself, but I think that his son Brian is doing an excellent job. So good job, sir. And by the way, Jim Henson Company actually did the animatronics for the FNAF movie, if anybody watched that, if anybody's into the Five Nights at Freddy's stuff. But I went and saw it with my son. Obviously, like, he was really, really into that. And I actually watched a lot of YouTube videos of people playing it, so I got into it as well. Yeah, so anything that the Jim Henson Company is behind, I will probably watch it, because I know that it's going to be well done, at least on the animatronic or puppetry side of it. Whether the acting is any good, that's not their fault. Next one I have on here is Freaks and Geeks. Now, that only lasted a season, and that's very, very sad. It was 1999, so it's like right at the Y2K stuff. I really enjoyed the show. I did watch it when it first came out. I must say, like, that was something that I did actually enjoy watching, and I did enjoy going to. I liked it a lot. All these people that were in it, they had a really good cast, and I think they cast them well. I would have liked to have seen what happened afterwards. But I guess we'll never know, because, you know, it got canceled. Like, I really hate when there's, like, these new shows on and they get, this is, like, back before the streaming, obviously, but they're, especially during the fall, when the fall season came around and you saw, like, all the new shows, and I would write them down and I'd find their trailers or their, like, little teaser things to be very interesting, and just the synopsis, I'm like, that's cool. So I'll start watching it. I start getting into it, and you start like, okay, well, what's going to happen? You know, there was like quite, I could probably fill a couple of pages worth of shows that got scrapped because maybe they wanted to put more money into a different show. Maybe because that was getting a little bit more viewers, or maybe, I don't know, something happened, or if it was just straight up because they weren't getting the views that they wanted to get. I don't know. So I hate when you get into a show and you're really, really into it and invested in these characters, and then they just, you just never know what's going to happen. Like, it's gone, you know? You come up with it yourself, I guess. So Freaks and Geeks was like that. Like, I was invested in the characters. So I was invested in these characters, and I was very much, like, wanting to know what goes on with them and what happens afterwards. Like, because this was, like, at, you know, they're in school, what goes on thereafter, right? And they completely, some of them changed who they were. Their characters were, like, kind of flipped because they were just trying to find themselves, and it was very relatable. So after that, so this is more like a kid's, not more like, it is Adventures in Wonderland. I don't know if anybody remembers this. It was from 1992 to 1994, and I actually have no idea where was it. Oh, it was in Disney, so you can actually go and watch it on Disney. I believe it's on there right now. And I really liked the whole, it was odd. So if you watch it, it's just, it seems like really weird and kind of out there. But at the time, I enjoyed it. I think everybody kind of wishes to have like a place that they could go to escape whatever reality that they're living in. And then you can, you know, whether it be Wonderland, because, you know, everybody's trying to kill you if you've actually ever read that book. But yeah, you can go and find it on Disney. It was a Disney show. How I watched it, I don't know, because I'm fairly certain we didn't have Disney until much later. I don't know. Unless we did have it at that point. I just know that, you know, it was an extra. You had your cable, and then if you wanted to have Disney, it was extra. All right, so Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. My brother was very much into them. Actually, so that came out in 1993. I was 10 when that came out, so I found it interesting. But obviously, as it progressed, like my brother was very much into that and the other things. So obviously, some of these guys are no longer, which is very sad. Very, very sad. But I thought they were cool. And you can obviously, you know, you can tell like some of the puppetry and stuff like that, and the costumes for the bad guys. Like it's kind of ridiculous now, but it was cool because, you know, it's like any like anime, if you watch it, like just those moments of like explosions and, you know, movements and bringing together the Zoids and stuff like that. So it was cool, you know. It spurred that you can do this and you can save the day sort of thing. So yeah, my son was gone into the Power Rangers, but not the original Power Rangers. He got into, I believe it was, he got into Mystic Force. So Power Rangers, Mystic Force. He really liked that one. It was on Netflix for the longest time. When did that come out? 2006. And that's funny because that's when he was born. So he really liked Mystic Force. So they had like all these like iterations. And they had like, I don't even remember all the other ones. Dino Thunder, that was in 2004. Power Rangers SPD, Jungle Fury. Some of them even had the guy that played Jason. He was like in a lot of them, but not in Mystic Force. But yeah, my son really liked Mystic Force. He would watch it all of the time. So he started to try and watch like the original ones, but like he, you know, he liked the one that was his generation. So, but I think it's cool that it kind of like spanned over. It's not just, you know, the 90s generation. It's them too. So I think that was neat. So yeah, Mystic Force, it's kind of neat. They had like magical powers and you know, beyond what they would normally. I thought it was neat. It was interesting. I didn't watch it as much as he did, but it was always like on in the background. So another one that's a little off the kid path, it's called Twin Peaks. And my mom watched that. This was all about, and it's a mystery drama. So this was, when did this come out? 1990. Okay, so we're right on that cusp. So I believe, did they redo Twin Peaks? I don't think so. No. Well, anyway, my mom was very much into Kyle MacLachlan. If anybody, you know, he was also in, he was in the original Dune. He played Muad'Dib. House of Atreides. He was also in Sex and the City. So if anybody watched that, another one that my mom watched. I didn't watch all of it. David Duchovny was in that too? Huh. I watched some Twin Peaks, but I wasn't like, must watch Twin Peaks, you know? Like, I think I'd be interested in it now, to be honest. Kind of looks interesting. Like I said, it was whatever my parents were watching, or if we were allowed to watch, or if they were like my dad was out and my mom was just like. So it's dependent upon who was the one in control of the television. So this one, I loved this. I loved this show. I loved it. Was it only one season? No, it wasn't. Lies. How many seasons was this? Okay. So it's called Farscape. It started in 1999 and ended in 2003, okay? So it's not 90, like, it began in the 90s, okay? Jim Henson also did the any, like, puppetry and special effects and stuff like that for the makeup for the special alien characters. So I love this show. I love it. Ben Browder, chef's kiss. I, like, fell in love with that guy. Fun fact. Claudia Black, who's in the show, is the voice of Morrigan in Dragon Age. So the best two worlds have come together and have made a perfect thing. So Farscape is excellent. I would, it was on Sci-Fi Channel. It's actually an Australian American science fiction television series because Claudia Black's Australian. Not that it makes that just because she is. So it's about an American astronaut finds himself thrown across the universe when an experimental mission goes bad. So he's like in a different area. It's kind of like if you think about Voyager, but different. So they're in like a different universe and he's trying to find his way back to Earth. And of course, there's like rebels, intergalactic battles. It's neat. And then they have a ship that's living. It's called Leviathan. And I actually have a bumper sticker, which I don't put on my car because I don't know. I used to put bumper stickers all over my car. Like my Mustang had a crap ton of them. And so did my Buick. For the little bit of time that I had it. But none of my other ones did I put anything on just because I'm like, what a waste. But anyway, so this bumper sticker says my other ride is a Leviathan. So I have it. I'm very much into Farscape. Love it. You can rewatch it. It's on Tubi if you want to watch it for free. But I think Peacock has it on there as well. I think Netflix had it too. I can't remember. But yeah, Farscape. Great show. Check it out if you haven't. Love it. This is more of my dad's speed, and we had to watch it because of him. So I think I mentioned in my first one, he watched Highway to Heaven, and that was in the 80s. And he would cry, like, you know, at these shows. So this other show is called Touched by an Angel, 1994, 9 seasons. Wow, good for them. And it was another show that my dad would cry at. So you have like these angels that come down and like help families and stuff. I can't even tell you like one specific one because I sat there like, why are we watching this? This is so boring. It wasn't something I was into, but I do remember it because it was something that my dad would consistently watch and he would get, you know, teary eyed over some of these episodes. So yeah, he would watch these. It was a good show. It was like a heartwarming show. And religious, obviously. Like, I think at the time, I was 11. So it wasn't as though, I would actually say, like, at the time, though, I went to a Catholic school and I was very much into the Roman Catholic religion and even thought about becoming a nun. That's how much I was into it. And I was, you know, very much into that belief. Okay. Not any longer, but fine. So this show I did watch with him. Did I take stock in it? Not really. I was 11, so I would be out playing and I might look at it in passing. But it was very much a staple in our household. So that's why I had to mention it. So if you didn't remember it, you're welcome. Now this show I watched, Sliders. Like I said, sci-fi, staple in our house. Jesus, you look up Sliders and you get the food, Sliders. I'm talking about the show, for God's sake. 1995. So you had like Jerry O'Connell. I love Jerry O'Connell. I was pretty much in love with him as well. And then you had John Rhys Davies. Oh my God. And Sabrina Lloyd. I thought she was neat. I actually liked her. Her name was Wade in the show. What else was she in? No other show that I ever watched. Okay, cool. But anyway, I enjoyed that show so much just because it was an interesting take on a show. And it was like, I guess I must be very much into like the science fictiony stuff as much as I was like, I like fantasy, but it is fantasy, but it's science fiction in a sense that you're like either going into alternate realities, which is what it was. He discovered a way to travel to other dimensions. The issue is it's like in Quantum Leap where you just can't get back home. Now Quantum Leap deals with time and only jumping into when his timeline as different people, but you know, as he was living. So he's obviously not lost alone. He has people that got sucked into that, you know, wormhole that he created technically. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, skip over this part. There is an episode where, because they're trying to find a way home, and before they even get into whatever mess that alternate dimension is giving, because there's always like, it's the same time, they might be the same place, but there's like complete utter like, it could be like the dinosaur period, and because they never got taken out by a meteor. So when they go in, sees that his house and it all looks normal. It all looks like the way it was. And he's like, this could be home now. It might sound stupid, and it is, because there should be more ways to prove that it is your home. But he said that there was the gate that goes into his house and it always would squeak. And he would know that if it was the house. This is what I'm saying. Like, I watch this show, obviously. But stupid crap like this is the stuff that takes up my brain power, okay? Anyway, so, and it bothered me. To this day, it bothers me because I would have freaking checked other things. But anyway, so it's like, if it squeaks, it's home. If it doesn't, we're going to leave and we're going to go to the next dimension. Checks it, doesn't squeak. Okay, we're leaving. Then his, like, mom or somebody, I think it's his mom, comes out and they're like, they just oiled the damn thing, or like they WD-40'd it or something. And it's just like, oh, you know, it always did squeak. They made mention that it always squeaked and they only just, so he did get home, but he just failed to check anything else but had done a squeaky gate. Like, really? Really? There's that. So then you have Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel. And I will be frank with you guys. I didn't watch it. When it came out. I know I'm a horrible person. There were people in my, not my class. When did this come out? Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Not the movie. 1997. So I would say, like, not particularly my class, but I would say like a year or two below me. There was this girl who was obsessed with this thing. And I know there was a bunch of people that were obsessed with Buffy. I watched the movie. And I enjoyed the movie. I mean, come on now. You have Paul Rubens doing the very best death scene ever in time, okay? So I loved the movie. Thought it was interesting. I thought it was a really interesting play on, like, you know, the vampire spoof. It was great. And the show, I actually only just recently started to watch because I felt like I did miss out on a whole genre that you would think that would have been a show that I watched because of everything that I was into. I liked Anne Rice. I liked Interview with a Vampire. I liked Dracula. You know, why wouldn't I watch it? I liked the movie, for crying out loud. Why didn't I watch the show? I don't know. I have no idea. What was it on originally? I don't know what it was on. I don't see where it was on. But anyway, so I don't know why I didn't watch it. I don't think I was like on a strike because it was only, I only heard of it. Well, I knew it was there, but I didn't really hear people talking about it in my class. Like, it wasn't like a huge thing. I don't know. And obviously Angel is a spinoff. So I haven't finished it yet because I stopped watching it. It's on Hulu. I stopped watching it for a little while because I've been going through some like massive crap recently. I'm trying, when I record these, it kind of takes me away from what's going on, and I, for a little while anyway. So I don't have a whole lot to say about Buffy and Angel. I'm definitely going to check out the rest of it. Thus far, what I've watched, I think I got to like season 2 or 3, and I like it. You know, even now I enjoy it. You know, I can't say anything. I think it obviously was a great show, and it still holds up. I enjoy it. I mean, granted, the technology, especially when they were like integrating computers in the school, which I found hilarious. The fashion, obviously, it's gonna be dated that way, but it's still a good show. So I'll finish it. I will. I promise. Highlander. Now the show, not the movie. Are they gonna remake it with what's his face? Oh my God, I hope so. And it's funny, you look up Highlander, Toyota Highlander comes up. Okay, so TV show. It came out in 1992. This is my mom's favorite show. Come on, Adrian Paul. I didn't particularly like him, but my mom did. Just sure I'm looking at all these other people who were in it. But anyway, so yeah, there can be only one. So you can only have one immortal at a time. So you come up with another immortal. You chop their head off. You get their power with all this electricity and all the lives that they've lived. If you watch the original show or movie, I find it to be better than the actual movie, but I think it was well done. We have the first season on DVD if anybody's interested. And I do remember quite a few of the episodes because, like I said, my mom watched it, so I obviously sat down and watched it as well. Another show was La Femme Nikita, and that was based off of the movie. It was what was it based off of? There was a new show called Nikita that was done in 2010 that was based off of this. And if you liked Alias, it was kind of like the same type of thing. Oh, it was actually based off of the movie La Femme Nikita. Okay. I didn't know that was what it was called. I'm an idiot. That came out in 1990, and that was a good movie. If you've not seen it, it's actually, it's a French, that's probably why, it's a French language action thriller. So if you don't mind reading subtitles or whatever, but I remember watching the movie. It's a good movie. And La Femme Nikita, the show, also well, really done well. Who plays Nikita is that Peta Wilson. She like pretty much is La Femme Nikita. I thought it was neat because I don't want to sound all like women power, but she was a dangerous woman and she knew what she had to do and she used what she had to get what she needed to get done. I don't know. It just felt empowering to me to be like, you know, we could be badasses, you know what I'm saying? It's not the only show ever done like that. I'm just saying that this particular one kind of gave off that for me. Okay. So another vampire show that was based off of a movie was Forever Night. If you ever watched the movie Forever Night with 1989 and who the hell was in it? I can't believe this. They actually have, the movie. Oh, it wasn't called. That's why Nick Knight. It's not called Forever Night. Rick Springfield was in it. My mom was in love with Rick Springfield, let me tell you. So the movie was called Nick Knight. And it's actually a good movie if you haven't seen it. He plays a vampire. And he's a good-looking man. What can he do, you know? Forever Night was based off of that movie. And it lasted 3 seasons. Was Canadian, because I believe a lot of these. Yep, it was in Toronto, Ontario. So yeah, it was a Canadian show, but great show. Geraint Wyn-Davies, who plays Nick Knight, did an excellent job of embodying that character. Although Rick Springfield, I think, definitely played a little bit different, but that's fine. And who else was in this? There was a guy that was like in everything. John Capelos, who was in The Breakfast Club. He was in the original for Nick Knight. So he was in Forever Night. And he was in, like, he's like a very good character actor. I've seen him in everything. He's like everywhere. It's like, oh, you again. Can you watch this Forever Night on anything? I don't think you can. TV Guide. They still have that? CBS. So I think that was originally on CBS. So maybe you can get it off of CBS. I'm not entirely, I don't have CBS Plus or whatever they have on there now. Yeah, so if you're into vampires, Forever Night, there was another one that I couldn't find. I'm going to just, Hayden Christensen was in this? What was he, 5? Interesting. I don't know what episode that was, if he was only in one episode. There was another one that my mom watched. It was called Kindred, now that I'm remembering. Here it is. Yep. Kindred, The Embraced. And that came out in 1996 and was a horror show. So Dracula meets the Godfather is what they're saying. In this complicated but short-lived supernatural drama in which San Francisco police detective Frank, oh my God, Kohanic, makes an unsettling discovery. His city is home to a horde of vampires divided into a mob-like clans. So the guy who plays one of the head vampires, Mark Frankel, he played Julian Luna. The reason why the show didn't continue is because he died. And he died, I think it was in an accident. How did you die? Yep. So in 1996, he was only 34 and he died in a traffic crash from injuries sustained. One, he was hit by a lorry driver, which is, it's a truck, tractor trailer. That's a shame. And I pretty much fell in love with this dude because he was a good looking man in that. But that was upsetting. I remember my mom finding out that was, the show was no longer because, not just the show, but he died. That really sucks. That was a really good show if you wanted to check it out. I don't even know if you can watch it anywhere, to be honest. But yeah. If you've never heard of it, it was Kindred, The Embraced. Good, one season, but it was good. It would have been excellent if he had stayed around to not be in an accident. Damn it. I'm going to actually write that down because I'm going to forget Kindred, the Embraced. All right. So the next one, another one, favorite of my mom's, it was called The Pretender. And it was, I believe this was also on Sci-Fi. And it's on Amazon Prime and Apple TV. Okay. So The Pretender. So he, the guy, the main character, Jared, who is played by Michael T. Weiss. So he was raised in a secret facility built for experimenting on children. Jared is a genius who can master any profession and become anyone he has to be. When he realizes as an adult he's actually a prisoner and his captors are not as benevolent as he's been told, he breaks out. While trying to find his real identity, Jared helps those he encounters and tries to avoid the woman sent to retrieve him, who is Miss Parker. Good show. And I liked the idea of being able to morph into whoever you need to be. But he's a genius. So hence the reason why they were experimenting or like looking to see what causes this. But he doesn't know who he is. He's trying to find out like his parents, where he came from, and how he got to be where he was. It was 4 seasons. I can't tell you if it ends properly, like if they have a finality to it, as in he finds his parents or who he is. I can't tell you. I can't remember. I do remember certain episodes. I think it might be a little dated, especially when it comes to like technology based. But if you look beyond that, because if you go back and you watch like Supernatural from when it first came out, it the cell phones that they used and how they dressed and, you know, what people were saying and stuff like that. And what they were saying, even what was like OK at the time to say on television. Now everything's like, you know, questionable. That could be dated. But if you look beyond that and you see like if it has a good story, you can see like Buffy. Good story. You can see beyond that, although it is funny to see some of the hairstyles and stuff. And like I said, when they brought in the computers, it's kind of crazy. My favorite, and my dad watched this, Sequest DSV. So they had another one that came out with Michael Ironside after what happened to Roy Scheider. Why did he leave? He died in 2008. When did this? No, it wasn't because he died. Well, anyway, mainly watched this because of Jonathan Brandis, forever in my thoughts. Pretty much was in love with him. And I love Roy Scheider anyway, so the whole like those two combined, and it was like underwater. It wasn't like something to do with space, because anything like my mom was, it was like vampires, space, or a horror thing. So this was interesting because it's like science fiction, but it's you're deep underwater. You're seeing like different civilizations and things that we haven't discovered because, you know, we can't get down that far, but they have come up with, you know, the technology to do so. I really enjoy it. It's on Peacock. I have them all on DVD because that's how I work. When Roy Scheider left and Michael Ironside came on, it wasn't as good. No offense to Michael Ironside fans out there, but Roy Scheider was just so much better. Just so much better. Anyway, and like I said, Jonathan Brandis, like it was, that's so upsetting. This is the one I couldn't find. Is this the one I'm thinking of? Yes. Okay, so I was trying to find out, because as I'm going through like the science fiction stuff, it's called Earth 2, and it has Tim Curry in it. So my mom watched it. It was on Sci-Fi. It came out in 1994. So it was like, let me see if they have it. Okay. 2 centuries in the future, when pollution has forced humans to abandon Earth in favor of cramped space stations, scientist Devin Adair hijacks a spacecraft and sets out with a band of followers in search of another planet that will offer a brighter, more normal future to children like her son. But the Voyagers find their planet, but their ship crash lands on the wrong side of the globe, forcing them to attempt an arduous and dangerous trek to the ultimate destination called New Pacifica. It has Tim Curry in it. What more can I say? Okay. He pretty much makes it. He's a bad guy. FYI. And it has Rebecca Gayhart, who, if anybody watched, I don't even know when that was out. Oh my God. There's so many shows that I watched towards the end of the 90s and early 2000s. Before that, I was just like, it's a what was on television. If it wasn't a cartoon, I really didn't watch it. It's kind of sad, right? But, or not. I don't know. I did watch, like I said, Parker Lewis Can't Lose. That was like early 90s. And I also watched Super Samurai Cyber Squad. Matthew Lawrence. I thought you guys liked them. What the hell? Anyways, Earth 2 was, there was only one season of that. That's a shame. Babylon 5. I didn't really watch that. I didn't put that on here, but that's there. I'm trying to see if there's anybody else or any other one that was good that I forgot about. So, I mean, all right, when I got into Sequest, a lot of the other stuff came up that was of, oh yeah, now they're getting a little off kilter here. So, okay, so Earth 2, I can't remember if it was very good, but I know that all I can remember is Tim Curry was in it, and I love him, so check it out. It's only one season. You can get through it pretty damn fast if you can find where you can watch it, if anybody has it on. So this is what I'm talking about. Streaming services, while they're good, there are shows and movies that they don't have. Hence the reason why I have, my mom has a very large selection of DVDs, if you haven't already heard this. And there are movies that she has that you can't find anywhere. Hence the reason why we have it on DVD. When we have shows that you can't find anywhere. So I appreciate the immediacy of the streaming, but even if you have like a VPN and you can watch like you're in, you know, France or London or something like that, where they might have something that they on their Netflix versus what you have on your on the American one. But regardless, there are still things that you cannot find anywhere. So I like having the physical thing in front of me. I enjoy having that, like books. I really don't like reading Kindle books or ebooks of any sort. Honestly, I like the feel of paper. I have so much of it. Same with games. If you're in a console game, I understand like the computers nowadays don't even have disc, like CD drives. We specifically got the PS5 with the disc player on it because we want to have a collection. I get the immediacy. We have downloaded a couple of things that were games that we weren't like completely like, is this going to be good or not? Say like when Dragon Age comes out, I'll keep harping on this forever. But when that comes out, I'm pre-ordering the damn thing and I'm going to get like, I'm getting everything if I have money. I'm already in debt. I will go further in debt if I have to. No, I don't even know what's going to happen by then. But anyway. There was another show that I can't remember what it's called, but who cares? Renegade. My dad watched this show, and it has Lorenzo Lamas in it. It came out in 1992, and it had 5 seasons. Wow. I remember the show. I can't tell you exactly I can tell you what it says on here. It says, framed for the murder of the woman he loved, ex-cop Reno Raines teams up with fellow bounty hunter Bobby Six Killer to clear his name and avoid capture. And if he helps a gorgeous woman with a problem along the way, so much the better. That was on USA. My dad loved this show. It was okay. But I watched it just as much as he did. So, I mean, it's not something I'm going to go back to watch. Let me just put it that way. But if you are interested in that sort of, like a martial artist / motorcycle rider / like cop, ex-cop, possible convict, this is for you. So now we're going to get into like the there's Stargate SG-1 and there's Stargate Atlantis. When did Atlantis come out? 2004. Don't worry about Atlantis. But however, Jason Momoa is in that, if you were interested. Good show. I loved Atlantis. I loved it. Was the Doctor in that? I don't think so. Oh my God, he was. Robert Picardo's in that. What has happened to me? I can't remember anything. All right, well, anyway, Stargate SG-1 was during the 90s. So if you love the movie Stargate, you'll like, I mean, MacGyver's in it for crying out loud, so... So yeah, Richard Dean Anderson was in that show and, oh my God, was he in it too? Who are you people and why are you here? I particularly, I'm not a big fan of the guy who had, that played Daniel because James Spader played Daniel in the movie and you can't replace him, sorry. The guy that they had him, so James Spader in the movie didn't sound like a, babbling idiot, even though he's like super smart. In the show, they kind of made him kind of like a smart idiot. I don't know how to else it to explain it, But I don't like how they played him off. He wasn't supposed to be, like, stupid, you know? He might not know everything about, like, army stuff, but I don't know. I just didn't like how they played him off. Or maybe just because I like James Spader as an actor. They didn't do that character justice. Good. Both Atlantis and Stargate SG-1, I would highly recommend watching that. They're on Amazon, I think. That 10 seasons. Dear Lord, I didn't realize it was that long. I don't know what Stargate Atlantis, how many seasons? 5 seasons. There's a lot of seasons. So be ready. Be prepared. Star Trek Voyager and Deep Space Nine were in the 90s. Now, Deep Space Nine was in the early 90s. Voyager was in like the later 90s. And I watched a lot of Deep Space Nine. We watched Next Generation, and Next Generation was like a crossover. There was like, I think, a season or two that they were both on. Next Generation will always be my favorite, I think, out of all the iterations of Star Trek, even the newer ones that have come out. But I did appreciate Voyager because, one, I love Kate Mulgrew, and also she's a voice of Flemeth in Dragon Age. So my two loves. There are a couple of characters in Voyager that are irritating. My favorite probably was, not irritating, but my favorite character was the Doctor, Sir Robert Picardo. He's excellent. I love him. I liked Catherine, like Janeway. She was awesome. I liked Chakotay too, but I feel like he was wishy-washy. No, who was the one that was? Oh, Jennifer Lee. So Kes. I found her character to be rather useless. And then you had the guy who played Neelix. He kind of irritates me in some episodes. Like, why are you here? Are you supposed to be like some comic relief? You're not relieving me, okay? Just stop. But there were some times where it was all right. But anyway, so I thought Kes was kind of useless. Neelix was, you know, he was there. But I loved Janeway. I loved the Doctor. I even liked Tom Paris. If you know these people, good for you. But check it out, because Voyager, there were 7 seasons. You can watch it on Paramount. I don't think I watched it on Paramount. I think I watched it on Netflix. I don't even know if that's still on there. Maybe because Paramount is just like, we're going to have a subscription now, so go watch it there. Like I said, there's so many subscription services that I don't subscribe to, because at the end of the day, it's going to cost just as much as a cable, to be honest. However, cable, you're kind of like stuck with whatever's on. They have on-demand stuff, but I think the streaming services are still better in the end. But yeah, Walker, Texas Ranger, which, by the way, they have a new one, which has Jared Padalecki in it from Supernatural, as well as other things I'm sure he was in. But Chuck Norris was the original. You can't really like step into Chuck Norris's boots, okay? My dad absolutely loved this show, and I watched it with him, and there were some interesting episodes that were just like, what is happening right now? But yeah. So they have the new one, like I said, has Jared Padalecki. I think that's on the CW right now. And you can watch the original Walker, Texas Ranger on Hulu. And there was 9 seasons. Jeez. Well, 2001? Good for you guys. So wait, so they have CW? Yeah, here we go. So 4 seasons already. Dear Lord. Why do they always have to have their actual wives in these shows? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I haven't watched it. I've obviously watched the original. I don't know if Jared Padalecki could actually pull off. It's on HBO Max. It's on CW. I guess you can watch it back once. But I hate that they called it Max. I keep thinking Cinemax. Do you remember Cinemax or Skinemax? They call it Max. Every time I see it, I'm like, Cinemax? No. So like I keep accidentally calling it that. So Walker, Texas Ranger, show that my dad loved. Then you have Northern Exposure, which has Rob Morrow. If anybody knows, have you ever watched Numbers? That was a great show too. I think that was in the 2000s though. Numbers was done 2005. Yeah, Numbers was great. It has David Krumholtz in it as well as Rob Morrow. Oh, that's where I knew that guy from. There you are. Sorry. Oh, and Peter McNichol. I love him. If you don't know who Peter McNichol is, okay, you got Ghostbusters 2 when he is just like, Vigo. just look at Viggo. He's the guy who's like, you know, Viggo's like servant guy who steals the baby, if you care to know. He was also in Dragon's Lair, great movie. And he was also in Adam's Family Values. He was one of the camp instructors, if you care to know all of this information. Anywho, oh, and then you have Judd Hirsch. Great guy. Anyway, so numbers, that's not what I was talking about. Northern Exposure. Mom loved this movie. It's supposed to be a comedy or a drama. 6 seasons, 1990. So Dr. Joel Fleshman graduates from Columbia University Medical School and is assigned to work in the tiny Alaskan town of Sicily to pay for his education. The location is remote, the people are weird, and Joel just wants to return to New York. And yet the people of Sicily, particularly pilot Maggie O'Connell, begin to grow on him. Don't remember a lot of it, but I do recall some show, like episodes of it. My mom watched it. Seventh Heaven did not age well, obviously, because of certain people. So that was in 1996, and it's 11 seasons. This was another show that my dad watched. He watched, after I was going through a lot of these, besides his, like, kung fu movies and action-packed stuff, I found out that, like, my dad seems to like a lot of religious shows. I don't remember a lot of Seventh Heaven stuff. I do recall watching it. It wasn't a favorite show of mine because I just felt like it could get preachy with certain things. Don't preach to me, man. So you can watch it if you're interested in a Prime. I just don't think I could watch it with that guy anymore. Sorry. Not sorry. I'm really not sorry because he doesn't deserve anything. Picket Fences. I remember Picket Fences, actually. So Picket Fences. Oh, Holly Marie Combs was in that, too. Lady from Charmed, if you didn't know. So set in Rome, Wisconsin, this drama mystery series revolves around a small town where strange things happen. This kind of reminds me of Erie, Indiana, which I actually, after I read that and I was like, oh, Erie, Indiana, that's another great show. I have that on my list. It's the next one. But anyway, the central focus is the Brock family, headed by Sheriff Jimmy Brock and his wife, Jill, the town doctor. Along for the ride are Kenny and Maxine, the sheriff's trusty deputies. So yeah, it's just like weird stuff. It's kind of weird things, you know, happening within that community. So if you're into like mystery stuff, weird occurrences, that's your go-to. And Apple TV, if you want to pay a price. No thanks. Erie, Indiana. So this was, that only had one season. What kind of nonsense is this? It originally aired on NBC, but it only had one season from 1991. If you like Are You Afraid of the Dark? Erie, Indiana is like pretty much up your... Oh, wait, they have another one. Erie, Indiana, The Other Dimension, 1998. I think they were just trying to, like, come back with it. The original will always be the best. But anyway, so Omri Katz is in it. If you like Hocus Pocus, that's him. The first episode, if you've never watched Erie, Indiana, the first episode has a lady who sleeps in Tupperware to keep herself young, just to give you an idea that some... It was pretty cool. I haven't seen every single episode. I thought it was longer than one season. But you can watch it on Tubi for free. With advertisements, obviously. Animorphs. Lasted 2 seasons. And it had... I think it had both Ashmore twins in there at some point. Or they played it once in there. If you like Sean Ashmore. If you know who that is. And if you don't, I'm sorry. I can't help you. So it's 5 kids. This is based off a book series, if you were into that. My brother really liked this book series. But 5 kids are given the power to morph into any creature they wish to help them fight villainous Visser 3 and his fellow Yerks, a breed of parasitic aliens threatening Earth. This was on Nickelodeon. These are older people. So, Animorphs, loved it. I love Sean Ashmore anyway. I liked him from in X-Men. His brother played in a show, Aaron Ashmore. His brother played on a show that I love called Warehouse 13, which was in 2009. That was another great show. I should go into like the early 2000s. So yeah, Animorphs. That was a good show. Based on books, if you want to read the books, I actually have a couple of them still. And last but not certainly not least, So Weird. Lasted three seasons and started in 1999. So again, late 90s, early 2000s. However, Cara Delizia, who plays Fiona, leaves. I don't know what season she leaves. I think the third season she's not in it. And once she leaves, it's not great. But it has Eric Von Deaton, if you guys were like into him back in the day. Mackenzie Phillips. She used her last name. I didn't even realize that. But yeah, they had, season three had this blonde chick who was in it. I can't even tell you what her name is. Yeah, Alex Johnson. I think it kind of just, it got off of what I think it should have been, honestly. So yeah, like the first two seasons, excellent. I actually just wanted to have a tour bus after that. How big these things are, and they're like, this is how we live. They live on the road. And I'm like, man, I want to do that. This tour bus is awesome. If you don't know the premise of the show, it's a 14-year-old computer geek, Fiona. So you're going to see like old school laptops or Fee. Who is on the road with her rock star mom, is seriously into paranormal phenomena, UFOs, ghosts, you name it. And she's uncovered it during her travels. Her brother Jack and friend Carrie Bell are along for the ride. So she actually has like a website of like people who could come in and let her know about ghost sightings, weird myths and legends and stuff like that. And she goes and investigates it. And there are things that, you know, happen in the show. It's a Disney show, so it's on Disney. So yeah, that's a lot. I know I have a lot to edit. I wanted to get this recorded this past week, but I didn't. So we're going to get it freshly recorded from today, later on today. My mom's going to be home in like 2 hours. So that's a lot. And that's not even scratching the surface of some of the stuff that I did come up with. But I kind of, the ones that are like, oh my God, I forgot about that. And I love that show. Like Sliders, I had forgotten about. But I watched that. And I watched it religiously. Like, it was a great show. Sequest, I didn't forget about it. These other ones that my mom and dad would watch. Touched by an Angel. And Highlander. Twin Peaks. Northern Exposure. Yeah. So like, these things are like my mom and dad's, like, that I ended up watching because of them. And then there was ones that I really did like. It was a good time for television, I have to say. And if you're not of the time and you're just listening, and check some of them out, because some of them won't age 100%. And some of them, actually, you won't even realize that you're watching it from another thing. Some of those really early ones, like I want to say like Northern Exposure and Picket Fences, are going to be dated. I tried to watch Murder, She Wrote, because my dad would watch. All right, so Murder, She Wrote, Perry Mason, Murder, She Wrote, like my mom and dad would watch. And that came out in 1984. So, and it lasted 12 seasons. So good for them. So could classify in the 90s. Diagnosis Murder, I forgot about that. I'll be making another list. Matlock, that was the other one. So you had Perry Mason, which is old, so it's like a black and white show. But then Matlock, and then Father Dowling Mysteries. I tried to watch Murder, She Wrote, and it doesn't, I don't know. I don't know what it is about it, but I loved it at the time, or at least whenever the hell we started to watch it. But it didn't really age very well. So some of the stuff, like Columbo, you might get something, but like some of them won't age very well. But check them out. Like, maybe you, doesn't matter to you. Maybe you like want to see like that authentic time. But anyway, so that's all I have in my list for today. I want to do, and I know I mentioned it in the other one that I did, sitcoms for my thing. I want to do British 90s television. And they might not be based in the 90s, but they're the ones that were shown over here. Because I watch anything like WHYY, PBS, they might show some old, or like BBC America when in the 90s, they would have like old shows. So like Doctor Who and other shows. I wanted to do a list of that. If you guys were an Anglophile, I still love British television. Some of our shows are right from them. So be it better or be it poorer. So yeah, that's that. So thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate every one of you that listens on a consistent basis, if not just listens at all. Please follow on Spotify and Apple iTunes. That would be greatly appreciated. And also check out my Facebook page, that is That 80s Child, and my website, GabrielleCataldi.com, which has every single episode, as well as my blog and writing bits and pieces, which I will be revamping that website. It needs some organization. It's been growing, so I need to redo it a little bit. So thank you so much. I appreciate every single one of you. And this has been That 80s Child, The Generation Y. And my name is Gabrielle, as normal. Bye.